I'll just hit record here, and I just have to make sure it's all right that before we begin, that I can record the interview.
Oh, of course.
Awesome. And can I just grab your name and position just for the record, please?
Sure thing. So it's Crystal Lowry, and I'm the mayor in the municipality of Mississippi Mills.
Perfect. So, I'll just get going here. Good afternoon and welcome to today's edition of In Focus. Grant Demme joined alongside the mayor of Mississippi Mills, Krista Lowry, today. How's it going today, Krista?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you for asking. How are you?
Good, good. Well, we figured we'd catch up with you because we haven't connected in a little while and there's lots happening, as always, in Mississippi Mills. So we figured we let our listeners know what is going on. Does that sound like a plan to you?
Sounds great. There is definitely a lot going on over here.
Absolutely. Well, we'll start with the big one, the bicentennial year. The events have kicked off and they're in full swing, and the municipality has lots of celebrations planned for this year. How have things been going so far?
So far, it's been really great. And we've had one major event and a number of smaller events, and the response from the public has been fantastic. Like, we've had terrific community volunteers come forward to be part of the planning, like the working groups and all of the planning. And the participation of people at the events has been fantastic. And there's all kinds of ideas people are coming up with now that we're in the middle of celebrating. There's lots of great ideas coming forward as well. So, you know, we're off to a really great start. It's only March still, but we're off to a really fantastic start.
And, you know, there's obviously in 200 years, there's a lot of history that comes in two centuries, because that's quite a long amount of time. And of course, when people naturally think of Mississippi Mills, they think Elmont and they think basketball, of course. But there has to be much more going on in Mississippi Mills that provides an opportunity for people to learn about throughout these events.
Definitely there is. And I think you're right. A lot of people think of Elmont and they think of Dr. James Naismith and the story of basketball, the invention of basketball. But you're absolutely right. There's so much more to our history. And I would point out right off is that we're being very respectful, that we're recognizing this is 200 years, which is really a drop in the bucket of the history of these lands in a wider sense. So as part of our plans, we're certainly, we have events specific to learning or celebrating or acknowledging the region's first inhabitants, the Algonquin Anishinaabe Nation, and it's thousands of years that the Indigenous people were here before European settlers came. So we certainly recognizing that although 200 years is a long time, that it pales in comparison to the very, very long and rich history of the Indigenous people who first lived here. So some of the things that we're doing, we're really excited, as I had said already, about how many people wanted to get involved. So we have a group that are planning activities in Elmont itself and the history and the heritage. There is a group for Pakenham and there's a group for Ramsey. And within that, there's... like in Ramsey, for example, there's also an agricultural group. So there's going to be opportunities to go on farm tours and learn about heritage farms and that kind of thing, which not a lot of people get to do. We're more and more, we're off the farm. But that was certainly a really large part of our history. And it's part of our current economy in Mississippi Mills right now. So that's a big part of what we're going to be celebrating. Pakenham has an entire weekend in August. We're really looking forward to that. And I don't know if most people realize, but two of the seven wonders of Lanark County are actually in Pakenham. So one is St. Peter's, the church, the Catholic church, and the other is the Five Span Bridge. So there's some really interesting gems right in Pakenham that people may or may not be aware of. In Elmont, the mills were, you know, wool was king for a lot of years. So there's specific events that we're going to be doing about like reenacting the walk that the mill workers would have taken to get to work every day. And I had mentioned as well, there's a number of Indigenous events that we have planned. One is an art installation, and it's a combination of Indigenous and non-Indigenous artists that are working on that installation. And it'll be in a beautiful park right beside the river. It's a very tranquil spot. And that's something I think we're all very excited about, but also feeling very like I don't know anyone else who has done something like this in their community. So we're also feeling like very grateful that there's the opportunity to have this kind of beautiful space, a sacred space created in one of our parks. There's also going to be some Indigenous events at the Mill of Kintail, which is actually the third wonder of Lanark County that is in Mississippi Mills. And along with the Mill of Kintail, there's of course a very strong connection to Dr. James Naismith, who you had mentioned, but also to R. Tate McKenzie. That was a childhood friend of James Naismith, but Mill of Kintail was his home and his art studio. And he was an incredible sculptor, but was also a very respected physician. And many consider him to be the father of modern physiotherapy. So there will be activities recognizing him and his contributions as well. So all to say, like, and that's just a kind of drop in the bucket. There's a lot more than that going on that we'll be celebrating together. Really large Canada Day celebrations, for example, that are coming up. We're looking forward to the RCMP being in town, musical ride. And it'll be just a great year. It's already started off as a fantastic year. We're trying to celebrate all parts and everyone in Mississippi Mills, and we're having a great year so far.
Well, yeah, lots of reasons to get out to Mississippi Mills this year and enjoy that beautiful municipality. Turning our
Absolutely.
attention now to more of a business approach is the budget. It was recently approved by council, a 3% tax rate increase this year. What's your thoughts on that figure and what the process was for 2023? Because I know a lot of municipalities, you know, that it was a big sort of tug and war between priorities this year.
I think you're right, and it's very much a challenge at the beginning of a new term, because you're usually getting into budget deliberations and providing direction to staff on that far, far sooner than the end of the year. The budget process typically is starting in, you know, June or July of the year before, and most councils will start their deliberations in September or October. So with an election, that really throws a monkey wrench into things, and it certainly slows down the process. But you know, that's the way it is every 4 years. So there is always that challenge of how do we, in a short period of time, reflect the new council's directions and priorities. I think we had a really some really important discussions at council. There's certainly more direction we'd like to be providing to our staff for the 2024 and following budgets. But given the time restraints that we were working with, given the challenges with costs of all things going up, it seems, I think we did a pretty good job of reflecting the priorities of council and the things that we're hearing from the residents and passing a budget in good time, because we're already 3 months into the year of the budget we're passing. So there's certainly a time sensitivity there. So I would say the priorities that are really reflected in this budget is one about taking care of our infrastructure. A second is certainly being responsive to the concerns that we're hearing in Mississippi Mills, but I think it's fair to say that most communities are hearing that. And that's about community safety and pedestrian safety, traffic calming, that kind of thing. We were able to carve out a few extra dollars to put into that priority. And then another large bucket, I would say, that we have invested in is what we're calling Mississippi Mills 2048, which is a group of planning projects. And there's going to be a lot of time go into that, a lot of consultation with the public, but it also takes dollars to do those kinds of planning projects. And it covers the gamut from development charges to transportation master plans, water, wastewater, our economic development plan update. Like, it's right across the board, all services that our residents touch. So It took some work. It was 5 meetings for us to get there, but I think we're all pretty pleased with what we ended with, which was, as you said, a 3% increase over 2022 on the municipal and policing levy. And, you know, given where inflation is, we were pleased to be able to keep that rate below the rate of inflation.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask a little bit more about the Mississippi Mills 2048, as you touched on it there, because as we're spending the year looking past the 200 years plus, you're also looking ahead over the next 20 or so, and what that means to the municipality, this plan and this idea. So how integral is this? Because we talk about a lot of the times municipalities have community improvement plans and things like that, and they use that as sort of a blueprint of or strategic plans of moving forward for the next council term. Is this sort of similar to that over an extended period of time?
I would say it's a lot of a bigger view than just a strategic plan. Certainly our strategic plan is going to feed into this as well. But given the growth that we are having to accommodate, and the growth I'm referring to is what the county's population projections were, I think it was 2 terms ago, 2017, 2018, the county provided the renewed population projections. And of course, we have to respond to that, like all municipal all lower tiers. We have to respond and make sure we're planning appropriately for that anticipated growth. So we've never done our plans in conjunction with each other. So it kind of gets things off a little bit. I mean, they're all going to be correct, but if we're not working with data in real time, each plan is going to be a little bit out of sync with each other. So one of the priorities that this council gave direction to our staff on, and this was very early, it was right in December we provided this direction, is that we want all these planning projects to happen together. And some of them have to happen because of Bill 23 or because of that growth, the expanded growth that we are having to accommodate. So our master transportation plan, for example, the water and wastewater master plans, the development charges bylaw, those are all pieces that we must do. But then there are some other pieces accompanying that, which really speak to the quality of life in Mississippi Mills. So, for example, the community services master plan update that we're doing. We've been working on this for a few months now. But what that will look like is, or what that will look at is, what is quality of life here? How do we plan for childcare? How do we plan recreation programs? How do we plan cultural and festivals in such a way that is sustainable, that's something that's affordable to the taxpayer, but also really contributes to that quality of life that we enjoy in Mississippi Mills? And another example of the not required, but the work we want to do is an economic development strategy as well. We have some identified employment lands that we would like to see creating opportunities for people to have meaningful work right here in Mississippi Mills. And we have some very unique businesses and agritourism businesses, manufacturing businesses, a lot in the sort of foodie sector. And there's an opportunity, I think, for us to have some discussions about what else could we be doing to either attract additional businesses that would be complementary, that we can help the local businesses expand upon the things that they're already doing so well. And then what are some of the other things that we could be trying to influence, trying to help move forward in a way that we haven't done in the past in Mississippi Mills? So that's an example of some of the quality of life pieces, and really, they're never legislated, you don't have to do them, but it's the kind of work that makes such a huge difference to what it is to live in a community. So we're really, I think, we've got our work cut out for us. We're going to do most of this in a year. But I think the other benefit is that we'll go out and talk to people once about this work. We'll give them information about what we're doing. We'll provide a number of ways that the community can come and talk to us about what they would like to see in the community. There'll be a number of ways that people can provide that feedback. But instead of going out and asking about the transportation master plan this month, and in 4 months asking about the wastewater master plan, and then in a year from now, we'll go and talk about the childcare master plan, we're going to do it in conjunction so that the comments are current, we're taking action on the comments in a real-time way. And I think at the end of the day, it'll come up with a plan that is forward-thinking and reflective of the needs and wants of our community.
Absolutely. That collaborative approach and line of thinking does go a long way. And I just have one more question for you before I let you go. Just about the curling refrigeration plant, you are applying for the Trillium grant application for that in Almont. It's a $150,000 project that council has said will not move ahead unless you get the funding for the project. So I just wanted to ask you about the emergency or the necessity of that. What is the current state of the refrigeration plant, and how urgent is it for council to come up with a solution here?
It's a really good question. One of the questions that I asked staff and wanted to have 100% assuredness on was that there is not any risk to staff. There's no risk to the users in terms of health and safety. And I've been assured by the staff that it is not a matter of anyone's safety, because certainly we've all heard those stories in other facilities where aged equipment can, depending on what the fault is or where the weakness is in the system, there could be risk to human health and safety. And they've assured that it's really a matter of failure of the equipment and not one of safety. So that was a very important point for council to understand. Part of the challenge is if we had gone out and provided pre-budget approval for this item, for example, back in the fall, that would have hopefully would have had enough time to get the equipment in that window of time when there's not ice in. Like most pieces of large equipment, there's still quite a delay when we're ordering this kind of equipment, and that was part of the challenge. So we know we have already missed that window. So in part, the want to go ahead with the grant from Trillium, if we get the grant, then I think it makes sense to obviously go forward. If we're getting some dollars from a program, we want to move forward with that. But otherwise, the delay would allow for us to have that conversation about the community services master plan that I had mentioned to you, because there's lots of asks in the community. And you know, whether it's pickleball or the tennis clubs or youth center, I mean, there's so many great clubs, there's so many great activities that all are deserving of improvements. We can't do them all. So how do we do it in a way that's fair, that's equitable, and that's sustainable? So that's really, I think, where that decision came from about let's move forward if we get the funding. And if not, let's afford ourselves the time to really discuss this. And by no means am I suggesting we wouldn't be going forward with it at some point. It just means we wouldn't be going forward with it immediately, so that it does afford us the time to look at our recreation and our sports programs in a complete way.
But as you said off the top, we're just looking at failure of equipment, and there's no danger to the public. So there is time before a decision really has to be made here if you are unsuccessful in the grant. So we're not looking at imminent failure here, are we?
I don't believe so. I don't think we're going to get, you know, 5 years out of it. I don't get that impression from staff whatsoever. But, you know, the chance of failure once you get to end of life, it's always higher every year you go beyond. So it's a matter of hopefully we can squeak out another couple seasons and really come up with a plan that makes the best sense for all of the programs that we're supporting, and do it in a way that everyone feels like they've had their chance to have a part of the discussion, and we come up with a plan that works for us now and into the future.
Well, I'll let you go. I thank you so much for speaking with me this afternoon. I've taken up too much of your time, and it was great to connect, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks so much for the call, Grant.
That does it for today's edition of In Focus on Lake 88. I'm Grant Demme. We'll talk to you soon.